Joined right now by Jim Miller from Sirius XM NFL Radio, former NFL quarterback. Jim, how you doing, my brother?
I'm doing great, Vic. Good to be with you.
How can things be bad here in Phoenix, huh? Beautiful sunny days.
Every year, you know, you say it can't get better. The Breakers weren't too bad last year in West Palm Beach, and now you're here at the Biltmore in Arizona.
The NFL knows. They know how to throw a meeting. Jim, I want to talk quarterbacks with you. That is right in your bailiwick, and especially as it applies to the Browns. First, your impressions of Brandon Weeden, the season he had last year, and your thoughts on this team potentially sticking with him as its starter again with a new head coach and Rob Chudzinski, new coordinator in North Turner.
Well, first off, I think he's a mature guy, but obviously because he came into the NFL older than the other quarterbacks, I think there's a maturity about him in terms of his athleticism and his arm strength. I think he's above average. But much like any rookie quarterback, even though he's older with his age, you're still going to go through those, you know, that rough road, you know, the learning curve process. Things happen a lot faster to process information, how you deliver the football. Windows are smaller. The game is much faster. We know that from compared to the college game. And I think those are all things that Brandon Weeden had to adjust to. And I would think year two will be better for him. It's always difficult learning a new offense, as you know, Vic. But you know, now going through the ropes, he should be much better from that.
When you look at the track record of North Turner and Rob Chudzinski, knowing what you do of both of those guys, and knowing how they've helped quarterbacks, younger and older, be better quarterbacks, what sort of influence do you expect them to have specifically on Weeden?
Well, I just think when you look at North Turner's style of offense, he's always needed big, strong-arm guys. You know, it's been Troy Aikman. Think of his days when he was the offense coordinator down there, big, strong-arm guy. I think Philip Rivers, a big, strong-arm pocket guy. And I think Brandon Weeden fits that mold. He's got a big arm. He's a play-action guy. He can launch the football and get it out there. So I think you emphasize what he does well, and that's a good fit within North Turner's offense. You're always going to add competition, and I believe they will add competition for Brandon Weeden.
And that's the other thing. They've talked about that, and Rob Chudzinski says that competition can also come from within. You still, right now, as it stands, it's Weeden, Colt McCoy, Thaddeus Lewis. I don't know how much competition there really is from the other two, especially when you think about as little experience as Lewis had. He just had the one start against Pittsburgh at the end of last season. And McCoy not having that real arm strength that seems to fit the Chudzinski offense.
Yeah, I agree with your assessment. I think for Colt McCoy, he's really the miscast player in the offense. And, you know, I don't rule it out, say, for Cleveland. If, you know, Geno Smith from West Virginia is there, why not? I mean, just because when you look at the new collective bargaining agreement, it's cheap. I mean, to draft a quarterback, even in the top 10, that's cheap money. I mean, the players can't even renegotiate until after year three. So let's go back. You look at Cam Newton. He signed a four-year, $21 million deal. You look at Jake Locker. When he was drafted eighth overall by the Tennessee Titans, that's only a four-year, $12 million deal. That's minuscule. Christian Ponder, you know, he goes 12th overall to Minnesota. I mean, $10 million, that's cheap for the quarterback value, and you know you're going to be able to have them, develop them minimum 3 years before you make a decision that, hey, this is our guy for the future.
No, that's such a great point. Jim Miller is joining us from SiriusXM NFL Radio, former NFL quarterback here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, as we broadcast from Phoenix, Arizona, site of the NFL meetings. Now, you brought up Geno Smith and the sixth overall pick that the Browns have right now. Is that a legitimate spot, though? You said the money isn't as much a factor, the signing bonus money, so you would therefore say it's plausible that he could be picked there. You also know that the Browns, it's been reported, and I have it in my mind that it's going to happen, that they're going to have a private workout for this guy too.
Right.
They're going to take a look at this guy in addition to what he did at his pro day. Do you think that is a scenario that you're seeing as realistic, the Browns drafting him?
There's no doubt, or creating the impression that they do want him, which I do think the Browns do want him. I mean, he's out of all the quarterbacks, I think him and E.J. Manuel, to me, of Florida State, Geno and E.J. stick out the most, especially at the Senior Bowl, what I saw from E.J. Manuel, and obviously what Geno Smith. He's a big, strong-arm guy that we just mentioned fits North Turner's offense, and now you factor in the athleticism and how Rob Chudzinski kind of took advantage of Cam Newton's athleticism
right.
down there for the Carolina Panthers. So you kind of have the best of both worlds right there with Geno Smith. So I think it is plausible that they're in the mix there at number six for Geno.
And do you like him as a complete enough quarterback, though, and has he shown you enough? I mean, last year was such an erratic, his final season at West Virginia, so erratic, where he started strong and then dipped off.
Yeah, well, I do. I like his skills, his big arm. I think one thing, because West Virginia's defense was so bad, you wonder the ability to come back in games. If you remember the New York Giants, I remember Ernie Accorsi was talking about and explaining what impressed him so much about Eli Manning at Ole Miss, and he said it's the way he came back in games. And there were a couple games, I think it was like K-State, that Geno Smith struggled against in order to come back and fight back. It's difficult because his defense didn't stop anybody. He always seemed to have to go down and score a touchdown. But it seems like when the pressure was on a couple times, I'm not going to say he faltered or wilted, because it is a team game, but that's when you need your quarterback to play his biggest. And started so strong the first, four games.
Yeah.
He was lights out, 24 touchdowns, no picks, anything like that. Had that bumpy road where I thought he struggled a little bit. So I think from that standpoint, you know, can he handle the pressure when the pressure's on? And I think he's capable of doing that.
And you mentioned E.J. Manuel from Florida State. This is an interesting guy, size, I mean, big, but also an athletic player. What are your impressions of him, and why do you think he might make sense with a team like the Browns?
I really like this player. I had a feeling down at the Senior Bowl he'd leapfrog a couple other quarterbacks like Mike Glennon of North Carolina State, who's a big guy, has a big arm also, but you could just see from Geno, from EJ, he can command a huddle. You look at his record at Florida State, ran a West Coast type of system with Fisher there. Now, it's not always, you know, everybody's saying, well, you know, in certain times he struggled, but you have to look at what he's asked to do. So if a team blitzed him, sometimes he didn't have the ability to dump it off. It wasn't built in within the offense. So I don't think you can hold that against EJ Manuel. But big arm, very elusive. I mean, 6'5", 237, who can run? He ran a 4.62 down there at the combine. Good three-cone drill, good shuttle drill. So he's a big guy with movement skills. And he blew me away just with his interview. I mean, very disciplined. His dad's a military guy. He loves football. I get that sense about E.J. Manuel. Very intelligent young man.
Do you sense, a lot has been talked about ever since really the whole 2012 season, and then it heightened through the Super Bowl, with Colin Kaepernick, the whole pistol read option type of offense, are you a believer that it has a definite place, a sustainable place in the game? And you know, and when you bring it up relative to Brown's discussion, again, with Rob Chudzinski, a guy who was incorporating it and really using it before a lot of other coaches with Cam Newton back in 2010.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't want to say it. I don't think you want it to be the staple of your offense. You know, it's not something you can hang your hat on. It's something that provides a wrinkle that defenses, I think, have to prepare for and make adjustments to. But I just don't believe, and I don't think it's a smart idea, to always subject your quarterback to that type of punishment. It is hard enough for these quarterbacks to make it through a 16-week season just the punishment that they take. And for your quarterback, who needs to be in the game consistently, if he's taking that punishment and starting to miss games, that's going to affect your offense. So I think it's a wrinkle, but it can't be the staple of an offense.
And I, by the way, I said 2010, I meant 2011. But yeah. And the other element here is, even though Norv Turner is adaptable to pretty much anything, you think drop back pocket passer for the most part. That's where he's had his most success as a coordinator and a coach.
Yeah, I think, you know, if you just look at him, I mean, it's not like Troy Aikman. He was a good athlete, but he wasn't the most fleet-of-foot guy, and I wouldn't say that about Phillip Rivers either. I think he's pass protection conscious when you look at Norv Turner, meaning, hey, if you know you're going to throw the ball downtown on a deep play action, you better have the protection up there that can, you know, keep that pocket clear for these guys to launch that football, and I think he's very conscientious of that.
So besides throwing it and having the guy to do that at that key position, quarterback, you need people who get after the quarterback. You need people to make plays at that end. The Browns clearly have devoted free agency to doing that, bringing in Paul Kruger, Desmond Bryant, Quinton Groves, a very defensive-heavy approach to their opening of free agency. Your impressions on what they've done and where you see it going from here?
Yeah, I think, here's my impressions about the Cleveland. I already thought they were a pretty talented team. You know, I wish Rob Chudzinski, I'm a big fan of his as a coach, but I was pretty happy with the regime before. I thought they did a heck of a job drafting the talent that is currently on the team, whether, you know, acquiring, you know, whether it's Big Phil Taylor and all the other players that they've added from Trent Richardson and the offensive linemen and you name it. I just thought, you know, if it was given time to marinate, this was going to be a pretty good team. So I don't think Rob Chudzinski was dealt, you know, he's been dealt a pretty good hand in terms of the talent. Now you add Paul Kruger, as you mentioned, Groves and the other players. So to me, it's, you know, they're good signings, but they really didn't have to do too much. Okay. I mean, there's a good talent pool on that team, I believe.
Jim, truly appreciate the insights and the knowledge, and we'll talk to you down the line.
All right. Sounds good, Vic. Thanks for having me.
He is Jim Miller from SiriusXM NFL Radio, former NFL quarterback, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, as we broadcast from the NFL meetings in Phoenix, Arizona. We've got much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.